Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, and I'm back in Southern California, and I'm joined by my man, my brother, Nando Vila. What's going on, brother?
How's it going, baby? It's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's good to be home, man. It's good to sleep in your own bed. You know what I mean? Wake up, scratching your balls, nobody there to bother you. It's really just amazing to be back home. But yeah, man, on today's show, I've kind of been slightly paying attention to this LIV Golf Saudi Arabia situation that's happening. I find it to be very amusing for on so many different levels related to the type of stuff that we care about on this show. So I just wanted to rap with you about that. But, you know, Nando, it's crazy, but there's actually some policy news.
Yeah,
in the news this week, a break from the normal malaise that has been the awful Joe Biden administration. And yeah, some of the highlights, they're allegedly finally trying to make some reforms to Medicare prescription drugs. They're trying to do what basically everybody else does when they're a bulk buyer and get a fucking deal on these prescriptions instead of getting raked over the coals by the pharmaceutical companies, trying to throw that in a bill. They're trying to codify gay marriage rights, which again, like, just hilarious and laughable that this is something that they're trying to do now, finally. Of course, and you know, the one that I find to be the most interesting is what's being called the CHIPS Act. Basically, they're gonna pump a shit ton of money into private chip manufacturing companies like Intel and some other companies to try to address the shortage of these computer chips here domestically, to address the problems with supply and demand issues that we're having in industries like automobiles, etc. Nando, I wanted to talk to you about it because we had previously talked about the inflation problem and how they're always doing the stupid 1970s shit and like, yeah, let's just raise interest rates, put the squeeze to the poorest Americans, and make them feel the brunt of the inflation hit and the recession and keep it pushing. And you specifically, Nando, was like, yo, if we were smart, we would direct government funds to addressing the actual causal problems of this damn inflation. And this CHIPS thing seems to be doing that, even if it's doing it in a way that is an extreme, massive corporate welfare, just basically blank check to some rich-ass corporations.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, on the one hand, the government should be active in industrial policy and dedicating resources and using its power and money and leverage to basically take a more active role in economic policy and industrial policy. Like, and on that front, that's great. I think, like, it's just funny that what goes through in a Senate vote, you know what I mean? Because this got 64 votes, meaning it got a bunch of Republicans and whatever. And it's like, I don't know, like, you know, chips in America are made by, like, Intel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Very rich company.
Intel made $20 billion in profits in 2021. The Intel CEO made $179 million in the last year. And they're getting like $50 billion. And I juxtapose it against something like the baby formula shortage. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's still going on. Like, there's still a massive shortage. I mean, I can't think of anything more crucial, which is, you know, feeding babies. Because, like, women who can't breastfeed, like, what else can they do to feed a baby if they don't mm-hmm. have formula? And, you know, no $50 billion to just kind of force the formula manufacturers to pump out more. No federal effort to do that. You know, it's funny because, like, this is being framed as a way to compete with China. And, like, all that's true. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's that it is true. Like, that American chip manufacturers are falling behind technologically and all that stuff to Asian chip manufacturers. And, you know, it is wise for government to be active in industrial policy. It's just like those things should be done in an ideal world in kind of more of the way like the New Deal was structured, in which, like, if you got $50 billion, you needed to have like a unionized workforce, for mm-hmm. example, or straight up just the government did it. You know,
yeah, like, there's that too, right?
Yeah. Like, you could just, like, you know, the government could just, like, take over the baby formula factory and run it itself, like, when things are kind of necessary like that. So I just like, find it kind of amusing that this just kind of sails through the Senate, that when large American, profitable American companies are asking for money from the government straight up, like, just a straight up handout for, like, a $50 billion handout, from the government, that sails through. Like, it's not even debated.
It took no time whatsoever.
No. And it's not like, you know, it'd be nice if this was all kind of poured straight into research and development. And there's some of that. And it's like that it would go into the hands of workers and there's some of that and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, this is just going to fuel more profit, stock buybacks, all the good stuff that they like to do, to line their own pockets. I mean, it's as clear as day. I mean, whenever the government has to spend money to help regular people, it's seen as wasteful. It's seen as like we can't afford it. It's seen as whatever. When it's to fund wars abroad or to just to literally give
easy
profitable companies and investors money, just sails through.
So I want to sort of refer to my man Ben Thompson, Stratechery. You know him from that. He does this really dope podcast called Dithering where he just talks about tech. And let's be clear, Ben Thompson is not a comrade like you and I. He's a pretty capitalist dude. But I was listening to his podcast. He's pretty smart about tech. And his thing was like, look, like generally speaking, I am against this shit. The government just writing a blank check to some huge, poorly ran company, right? Like Intel is a mess. They are a very poorly ran company. They make a lot of money, but they are poorly ran. Like this would generally be a bad idea. However, like this is a clear need, 100%. And essentially, Nando, it's what it is I don't want to quite call it extortion. But it's like, there's a clear need for this. We can address it. So give us money to do it. And give us money on top of what it would take to actually fund it and do it just for our own pockets. And so, like, yes, a greater good is going to be served here. But in order to do that, these dudes got tens of billions of dollars for the pleasure of getting, like, of getting the country that they get to make $20 billion in profits off of in a year to get them out of a rut in the supply chain situation. You understand? Like, this is the state of affairs here. Like, we don't need to get into, like, you know, and I would encourage people to go listen to Dithering. Like, he talked about just, like, the incentives of the tech economy. Like, most of the money is in software. So the best and brightest people don't want to get into a hardware game. Like, they go straight to software because, you know, you're more flexible in your opportunities and making bread. And so, like, the hardware shit is very underserved sector of that business and that industry, right? And so for the government to come in and buy equipment and put people to work doing this shit, like, that's going to make a material difference. Yeah. 100%. But, like, at what fucking cost, man? Like, these dudes just get to just extort us, period. Yeah.
Well, the other little wrinkle in this whole thing is that it's also very important for the U.S. military to have domestic chip manufacturers be at the cutting edge. You know, like, the American chip manufacturers are falling behind in terms of, like, its high tech. Like, for what reasons that you discussed, you know, that a lot of the top guys are going to Facebook instead of, you know, Intel or whatever. But this is also like, don't get it twisted. This is also like just a huge U.S. military boondoggle. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, you know, they want to have their chips in America.
We don't want to get our shit from China. Yeah, facts.
No, can't do that. Can't do that. You know, when you really need them, you're going to need chips to fly all those fancy planes and shit. So, yeah, I mean, and it's funny because, like, you know, all these modern cars now are so chip dependent. Like, I don't know about you, Waz, but I'm like a total car Luddite. Like, I need to put my key into a keyhole.
You one of those.
I'm one of those. I don't like a floating key in my car. I need to stick it in the keyhole.
and take it out when you're done.
Turn the car. All these cars run on, like, computers instead of just, like,
bro,
the gears, you know? Like,
the perfect example of this, Nando, I remember the first time getting in a car that used the Apple Play function and just being appalled. Like, wait, hold on. My text is just going to come up.
Yeah, they're just popping up.
Like, this is insane. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, if you're in the wrong, if the wrong company, you can get in a lot of trouble.
Bro, now I hate getting in the cars that don't have it. I just love it so much. It's just so inconvenient. Just go from Waze to messages to this to Spotify. I just love it so much. And it's just, it's so clearly what the problems are with this entire idea, man. Like, of just, oh, it's so convenient. Everything is just right there. Which means it's just right there to be stolen. Everything all at once. It's just crazy how these things work on our minds. But yeah, I just thought the chip thing was a fascinating little wrinkle to what Biden is trying to do.
Yeah, bipartisanship, dude. Very bipartisan. They love it, you know. They love giving money to companies.
it's just insane the type of shit we can't get funded in. And look, $50 billion is to the behemoth that is the American state, it's nothing. It's yeah. a drop in the bucket. But just imagine the kind of programs for regular everyday people, even if you did the ridiculous mean testing that the Democrats are obsessed with. Like, so much could be funded by this and just won't be.
Yeah, no. I mean, $50 billion could help a lot of people. Like, if it was put towards, I don't know, something like food stamps or whatever, mm-hmm. like that. Or homelessness, like $50 billion for homelessness, like a federal housing homeless initiative. And I just saw there's a legislation coming out in Miami today, where I'm from. So I grew up on an island in Miami that, between the island that I grew up in and the mainland, there's another island. So you go on a bridge to one island, and then there's another bridge. On that middle island, they're passing a law today in Miami to just move all the homeless people there.
Jesus Christ, man.
You know, it's like just a giant encampment.
This is the kind of shit that, like, they would put in post-apocalyptic.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's like Escape from New York.
It's like a dystopia. Yeah. They would put this in a movie that was like the world had ended. But no, this is just 2022 in the United States of America. So, yeah, folks, just look out for that. Joe Manchin is allowing Joe Biden to do his job again. And
hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Yeah, just crazy. Anyway, I wanted to get into this LIV Golf thing because, like, the technicalities of what the PGA Tour is, and how it's an outside entity from the majors, which is all anybody really cares about anyway, and where LIV Golf fits into disrupting that paradigm for the PGA Tour and all of that stuff. Just know, you just need to know this. The Saudis have a wealth fund. They're funding all kinds of things because essentially they want to be the next Dubai, basically. And they have an understanding that, like, when you are one of these rich, wealthy countries that matter, you have shit like art that you pay $400 for shit that's allegedly an original Leonardo da Vinci, can't actually be proven, but you pay $400 million for it anyway. You buy a club like Newcastle, and, you know, you freaking fund your own golf league where you pay PGA golfers, Nando. And they're giving, like, Phil Mickelson, I think, got $200 million or something crazy, like $100 million. They've earmarked $2 billion for this thing, which again, to in Saudi oil money, is like literally chump. It's literally nothing. No, like literally, it's not a thing in Saudi wealth terms. And you know, it's headed by Greg Norman, the shark, a famous golfer, whatever. And I'm just fascinated by all sides of this because there's nobody to root for here, Nando. Like, I don't root for Phil Mickelson to go out and get more millions, hundreds of millions. This is a guy who's earned literally probably upwards of like $300 million in his, you know, 20-something year career. Same for the rest of the guys that have signed up. I don't root for the Saudis to sort of whitewash their image. And I definitely don't root for the fucking PGA Tour, who basically, Nando, they've come out and said, like, you know, basically, like, LIV is going to be a disruptor of the tour and its place within the ecosystem of professional golf. And this is fucked up, Nando, because LIV, these golfers, they're getting into in the business with the Saudi government, Nando. And these guys have human rights abuses. You know, women just got the right to drive. LGBTQ, there are no rights to speak of there. The fucking war in Yemen, bro. Like, you know, like, this is bullshit. They killed Jamal Khashoggi. Like, this is bullshit. This is not coming from some, like, lib, nonprofit activist situation. The fucking PGA Tour, like, when you look up Good Old Boys Network in the dictionary, it's literally every single board member of the PGA Tour. They defined Good Old Boys Network. Yeah. And these are the criticisms they're levying against the people who have joined up with LIV Golf, Nando.
I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the whole fracas about the Super League and that there's no real, like, heroes in this whole thing. I mean, it's basically like, I mean, what are you going to, like, support FIFA and UEFA against?
That's ridiculous.
You know, like, they're.
But, who's more corrupt? I mean, I do find FIFA?
The Saudi kind of, the amount of money that the Saudis have is, like, unfathomable to us regular folk. And it's just so funny that they've identified sports as this kind of easy target where what amounts to them is, like, almost nothing is just huge for a certain type of sport. I mean, there's obviously this thing going on with golf, but there was a funny situation like about a month ago where the F1 Grand Prix went to Saudi Arabia. There was the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And like right before the race was about to start, like there was a massive explosion because a missile from Yemen like landed right next to the track. And like, all the drivers were freaked out. And they were like, wait, I don't know about this shit. And there was like a literal war going on just down the street across the border. And then you obviously the Newcastle thing and whatever. And I get the sense that the Saudis, MBS like overplayed his hand with the Khashoggi thing. Mm-hmm. And for like a while, the West was like, yo, this is, we can't, like, you know, they weren't going to do anything like meaningful about it. But there was like a little bit more of, you know. And then I've noticed, like, in recent weeks, there's been a spate of articles. Like, The Atlantic ran a piece in which they quoted Khashoggi's widow, and in which she says, like, he would forgive MBS. Like, Khashoggi would forgive him. Like, for
she and had then, to get some money. Somebody of course, gave her some you know, money. Yeah.
Like, I'm just quoting from the piece. He's like, what would Khashoggi himself think about MBS? Quote, he would forgive him, Khashoggi's widow, Hanan Alatar Khashoggi, told me last month. I asked her to say that again. Forgive his own murderer, the guy whose goons chopped them up into little pieces. She thought it over and continued sobbing. Forgiveness is in our religion. Forgiveness in our religion is something great. I sense like there. And then Max Boot wrote in the fucking Washington Post that, like, you know, MBS, he's doing some good things. And it's like, bro, he literally murdered your colleague.
Yeah,
like, murdered your fucking coworker.
And if where I'm from, you know what we would call Max Boot? A bitch ass nigga.
Yeah. And wait, Waz, I'm going to send you a Twitter link. Did you see this video of the new Saudi Arabia city initiative called The Line?
Yeah, I peeped it.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. You know, insanity. And then, you know, they're rolling out the PR campaign for all this shit. And sports is obviously like a huge way for them to do it.
Can I just say something related to that? This is how I know the sports shit works. I think about a place like Cleveland, Ohio, where all my life, fucking the Browns, the Cleveland Indians, the Cavaliers, you know, Ohio State Buckeyes, which is not in Cleveland, it's in Columbus, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this is like one of the major big American cities. This is a city that matters. This city has prestige. They have several sports teams. They have a bunch of fans. They blah, blah, blah. Like, then I went to Cleveland and was immediately disavowed of such notions. And that's what's happening when you do this kind of stuff related to sports.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, dude, your boys at Man City, you know, they're owned by Abu Dhabi. And, you know, it's been nice for them. It's been nice for them to have,
by the way,
the world's most well-run club.
Hanging out with some friends from London a few weeks ago, and to hear them talk about Northern England people, I will not soon forget it. Like, that experience of listening to them talk about people from places like Manchester was eye-opening, to say the least.
It's like when, in the reverse, like in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, where they, when they, the two Liverpool guys, you know, like they have a totally different accent, or they're like, look at all them fucking southern fatties, you know.
Fantastic. But yes, continue. That's
great. Yeah. No, but I mean, that shit works. I mean, the shit works. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, in the long run, it works. Like, there's like a brief little like flutter that people kind of get used to it. And it's a huge way to build up your prestige and a huge way to exercise your soft power. I mean, if Saudi Arabia can run Newcastle as well as Abu Dhabi has run Man City, you know,
let's hope that they don't.
It's
going to
be nice for
Man City.
It's going to be nice for them.
For the sake of Man City, let's hope that they don't. But yeah, like this is, it's easy to see how this works. And then, you know, just the, like for a PGA Tour, like just the idea that American individuals should not want to go out and earn literally, like we throw the word generational wealth out, but like if you get $100 million, your family will literally never go broke, ever. Yeah. Like, that's just generations of your family will live off of the, and nothing else, right? This
and
idea,
so how does it work? Is it a tour? Is it like
it's
do
a
they
tour.
Still have like
it's
so
a
they,
tour.
It's 14 owned by the
matches.
Saudis.
Yeah, 14 14 tournaments a year. That's like part of the appeal. It's less arduous than the PGA Tour. Stuff like the British Open, the Masters, the US Open, these are separate entities from the tour. And right. so they don't even give – it's like, okay, you're still invited to come play at the tour, the majors. Right. I mean, to go play at the majors, which is all anybody really gives a fuck about anyway. And so it's just like fans want to watch the best guys play, and that's basically the beginning and the end of it.
I mean, it's akin to like – I guess – again, I mean, I think –
It's like, I mean, if the XFL, hand, like, if the XFL
no,
were
no,
a direct
like
competitor.
If, no, it's more like criticizing a player for signing for Man City.
Yeah.
I guess.
Period.
You know what I mean? Like Erling Haaland, who's like a fucking freak of nature.
He's so,
you know,
good.
I'm like, you know, you're supporting human rights abuses.
It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And I mean, again, I don't know if it's exactly the same thing. I mean, I haven't really thought about this too much. I'm just talking shit.
It's not exactly the same thing, but the point that I'm trying to make, Nando, is like the entire point of the American military industrial situation and American hegemony and all of the shit that we do abroad is so that American business interests can basically do what they want to do with impunity, right? Be extractive
more or
in
less.
All kinds of places like Africa, like Southeast Asia, like wherever. It doesn't matter that we put,
Central
you
America.
Know, it's not, it doesn't matter that we put dictators in charge who have death squads and kill gay people and kill journalists. Like, nobody ever brings this shit up when American corporate interests are doing the exact same thing. This idea that individuals should somehow be more moral when getting themselves and their family paid from problematic regimes. I don't understand the basis of this is what we've been doing for literally 100 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it is kind of like a weird situation. Like, it's just,
like, what?
It's just kind of funny that they're just like, they just saw like golf. Let's buy it. All of it.
Fuck it.
Wait, who are any players holding out? Like, is it gonna?
Nah, Rory. Like, people. Tiger came out and spoke against it. Was like, this is bullshit. This is not real competition.
But I guess the way you're explaining it, it's almost like you can have your cake and eat it too, right? Like, you're not skipping out on Augusta. You can,
but there's another key distinction. Like, your money's guaranteed. Like, that was the thing that Tiger railed against. He was like, you're not even playing for a purse. So how is this a real competition? This is Fugazi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you go to the Masters, you're playing for the highest fucking check when you win.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, you can make the same, like, you know, in the NBA, your money's guaranteed. I mean, I guess you can have, like, bonuses in there for stuff. But
something. I don't know. But, like, I'm just like, this seems like a no-brainer for the golfers who are doing it. This idea that they should be trying to preserve.
And, like, are they just, like, making, like, how much more are they making than they
like
would?
Like, four times. Fourfold.
Four times. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, basically, like, I was watching some shit. My man, Kevin Clark from The Ringer, he's our football guy, but he's a big golf person. He was just basically like, it would be like if Aaron Rodgers, who's making 40-something million, I think, per year, signed a deal for $160 million per year for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the money is ridiculous.
I mean, the funny thing has been, I mean, I saw the Phil Mickelson tying himself into a million knots, trying to be like, you know, trying to have his cake and eat it too. Just be like, yeah, I'll take the $100 million, but I condemn the stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
I condemn.
Like,
yo, Nando.
Like, what?
When did we start blaming the Saudis for 9/11? That I feel like it's a very new phenomenon.
Well, it's because of the. I mean, it's always been kind of relatively obvious. I mean, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi, but including Osama bin Laden
is Saudi.
Yeah. But the real kind of smoking gun was when they unredacted the whatever amount of pages that were from the 9/11 report that described the Saudi involvement in 9/11 that they fucking redacted for, like, you know, 20 years. To the point where now it's undeniable. I mean, if you know, like, after 9/11, there was the 9/11 report, which was, like, a huge government investigation into what the fuck happened in 9/11. In the middle of that report, there's, like, 20 pages or something. I forgot how many pages. Like, a significant amount of pages, just fully redacted, you know? Like, fully blocked out. And it was that just described the involvement of very high officials in the Saudi government, the Saudi ambassador in the United States, like, all manner of shit in, like, very clearly planning and executing 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just hilarious that was redacted, you know? Like, it gives away the game right there.
It just,
you know?
It gives away the game in the sense that, like, the Bush regime did everything that they could do to ensure that Saudi was never seen as being part of the attack. And they advocated for wars against two whole different countries for the attack. Like, not one, two countries that aren't Saudi, bro.
Yeah. No, it's wild. I mean, it's one of those things that, like, we've just, like, absorbed. But, like, when you stop and think about it,
it's,
you know,
insane.
It's,
like,
wild.
And that's why it's, like, you know, to watch people.
But they
rip
but
their
you know, like,
out.
They more or less, dude, the fucking Saudi. Okay, there was. Last year, there's a hilarious tweet where last year something Trudeau, the Canadian prime minister, did something to, like, you know, piss off the Saudis. Like, I don't know if he, like, imposed some sort of tariff or he said something about the, like, something that pissed them off. And the Saudi government tweeted something like a picture of 9/11 and was like, ... like to Canada. You know what I mean? Like, let me find this. Canada 9/11 tweet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Okay, please look at this. Saudi Arabia state media on Monday tweeted a graphic appearing to show an Air Canada airliner heading toward the Toronto skyline in a way that recalled the September 11th attacks.
That is just perfect. It's just perfection. Yeah,
it was a tweet from the official Saudi government Twitter account. And it said, as the Arabic saying goes, he who interferes with what doesn't concern him finds what doesn't please him. Hashtag Saudi Arabia, hashtag Canada. And it's a picture of the Toronto skyline with an Air Canada plane heading toward like the Toronto needle.
Oh, my God, man.
And it's like sticking one's nose where it doesn't belong. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is just basically, we did 9/11 to and your we'll neighbors, do it again. To the south, and we'll do it again. Just incredible, incredible stuff. What a fucking time to be alive, bro. Just wild, shit. Anyway, that was our show for today. Make sure you're checking out the Liv's golf tournaments. I don't know where you can even watch this shit. I wonder what type of broadcast partners even have the stones to touch this thing. So
we'll just stream it, you know, like you just stream it, baby.
Yeah, just
you
stream
know?
That joint. Stream it on YouTube. Fuck it. They don't care. Yeah. They don't need actual partners for money to recoup on all of this. They're like, fuck it.
No, just do a fucking, just give it away for free on streaming.
Make sure you're checking out all our other Count the Dings products. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.